Good day, everyone, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Now, for introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Shazam Changani. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Joshua, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is integrating Jakarta Commons logging with WebSphere Application Server. Currently, we're experiencing some technical difficulties with our e-meeting site as we're having network problems since the morning. Today, we will be running the presentation off the PDF located online. Please go to the WebSphere Technical Exchange site and click on today's presentation title. The document that displays will contain the PDF file. You may also access this PDF file by going to any IBM.com site and typing the tech doc number 7010153 in the search box found at the very top of the right page. Once again, the number is 7010153. The call is being recorded, and you can play it at your convenience. Early next week, the MP3 file along with the presentation will be available on the previous webcast tab of the WebSphere Technical Exchange site. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. At the end of today's session, the lines will open for a quick question-and-answer period. Today's presenter is AJ Belodia. AJ Belodia is an advisory software engineer providing support for WebSphere Application Server. AJ is certified WebSphere Application Server Administration for version 5 and version 6, and has authored Troubleshooting Guide for Class Loader Problems, and has provided support for various components for WAS, including administration, security, and SDK. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to AJ.
Hi, this is AJ Palodia. Today we'll be talking about Jakarta Commons logging in WebSphere Application Server. For those of you who have not been able to open the document, please go into IBM Com site and you should be able to search the document by looking or searching on Jakarta Commons logging and WSTE. Okay, we are on slide number 2 right now. Basically, the title for slide number 2 is Agenda, and what we'll be talking today, we'll be talking about JCL, why JCL is used, what are the benefits of using Jakarta Commons logging. We'll discuss the JCL support in WebSphere Application Server. We'll talk about the criteria that is used in the discovery of the JCL artifacts that are packaged within the application that is part of the WebSphere application server. We'll be looking at specific JCL solutions that the applications can use that are part of, again, WebSphere application server. We'll be talking about the different options that are available for packaging JCL artifacts in WebSphere application servers and the detailed steps that are involved in doing that. So that's the agenda for today. That's slide number 2. Going on to slide number 3, the title of slide number 3 is What is Jakarta Commons Logging? Jakarta Commons Logging, abbreviated as JCL, is an API that is provided by the Jakarta Commons Logging Framework Architecture that is used to use the logging for different applications. So most of the applications that are packaged as libraries that are included as part of applications within WebSphere application server require logging information. There are many logging implementations that are available, and different logging implementations can be configured to be used using JCL, Jakarta Commons Logging. So JCL basically provides an API that enables the applications to be independent of the actual logging implementation that is being used at different points in the runtime of the application. Going on to slide number 4, the title is Why Use JCL? JCL basically provides a simple logging interface. There's very little configuration or the code that is actually needed to provide the logging details using any particular logging implementation. So there's very little configuration on the part of the application that requires the logging to be provided. It can be, JCL provides support for very different actual logging implementations that are available in the market. So it can be used with a lot of the common coding or the logging implementations that are available in the market. Very little configuration, as I mentioned, is needed as to actually do the coding that does the logging implementation. So there's basically just a configurable abstract factory facility called the Log Factory. This is used to instantiate a specific implementation of the Log Factory class. And we'll go into the details of this in the few slides after this, which will discuss exactly what this Log Factory is and how it is configured. Going on to slide number 5, what are the steps that I used to provide the JCL support? So the basic steps that are needed to configure JCL. So the very first thing an application needs to do is configure the Log Factory. And Log Factory basically points to the actual or the conflict class that implements the logging details. So Log Factory provides conflict Log Factory implementation class that supports a particular log implementation. It can be used with any of the available logging implementations that are available. So Log Factory provides a concrete Log Factory implementation class. This is the first step that's needed for configuring JCL. The second step that's needed is to obtain an instance of the Log Factory. And basically it is done by logfactory.getFactory. So getFactory is the method that's used in the Log Factory class to obtain an instance of the Log Factory. And for example, I've used my Log Factory as one of the instances that has been instantiated from the Log Factory class. The applications that need to use the logger will now use this my Log Factory instance to obtain a logger. And the basic method that is provided by the JCL is the getLog method. So getLog will basically return the log implementation, and then from then on, the applications will use this log to do its logging. Going on to slide number 6.
Before going on to the next chart, currently we're experiencing difficulties with the e-meeting site. You can still access the presentation by going to ibim.com and typing the number 7010153. Again, the number is 7010153 in the search box found at the very top of the page. A technical document with a PDF will display. Thank you. I'll now return the presentation over to AJ.
Okay, we are on slide number 6, titled JCL Support in WebSphere. WebSphere uses Jakarta Commons logging to do its own logging. So WebSphere, when you install WebSphere, it is already pre-configured to use the JCL. The web applications that are installed on the WebSphere application server can use the JCL artifacts that are provided by the WebSphere or override the implementation that has been provided by WebSphere application server and use web application specific JCL artifacts. And we'll talk in great details actually in the coming slides about how that is implemented and how that is configured within WebSphere application server. Since WebSphere application server provides or uses Jakarta Commons logging for its own logging, and applications that are installed on WebSphere application server may also have a need to use its specific artifacts for JCL, problems can arise at runtime depending on what artifacts are loaded for that particular instance in time. So the basic problem arises because of WebSphere application server bundling its Jakarta Commons logging details within WebSphere application server and the class loaders that are used to search for the classes. And there was a presentation yesterday, I believe day before yesterday, by Paul and Norman from my team, who discussed the class loaders and their behavior in WebSphere application server. So we'll touch a little bit on the WebSphere application class loader overview and then provide the details for packaging JCL artifacts in an application that is deployed on WebSphere application server. So what is the criteria that is used? Okay, we are on slide number 7, titled Discovery Options for Application-Specific JCL Artifacts. So here we'll talk about the criteria that is used to find the JCL artifacts at runtime. Now, depending on the class loader that is in use at runtime, different artifacts of JCL can be available or are loaded at that instance in time. So so this is the basic criteria that is used to determine what log factory implementation needs to be used at any given point in time during the runtime. So the first thing that is checked during runtime is the system property called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory. This actually is an option that is not supported in WebSphere application server, just for the reason that we discussed before. If we set this system property at a Java level, both the WebSphere application server and the applications that are deployed in WebSphere application server will only be able to use this log factory implementation. But based on the fact that WebSphere application server provides its own implementation class for the Jakarta Commons logging, there will be conflict. So this is one of the first steps that needs to be taken in mind to not to use system property for Jakarta Commons logging in WebSphere application server. The second criteria or the second search that is used to find the log implementation or the log factory implementation is by looking at a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory file. This is the name of the file, which is under the meta-inf-services directory. If this file is found, then it will use the property that is specified within this file to create the log factory. The third is by looking at a file called commons-logging.properties in the class path. The commons-logging.properties contains a name value pair for the log factory implementation class. So the name is org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory, and the value would be whatever class or whatever config class is being used by the application for the particular logging implementation they need. So you can look at this 1, 2, and 3 steps as if then else kind of statements. So the first at runtime, a system property org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory is searched for. If that is not found, and in this case a key note to be made is that this is not supported in WebSphere application server. So it will then go to the second, looking for a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory in meta-inf services directory. If that file is not there, then the class path will be searched for commons-logging.properties file to look for the config logfactory implementation class name. Going into slide 8, titled WebSphere Default Class Loader, and this is basically a review of the class loaders that are present during runtime in a WebSphere application server environment. So I'll just do a very basic overview on this since this was covered in great details on Tuesday, July 17th by my teammate Paul Van Norman. So we'll just review this just for the sake of some of the keywords that will be used in the later part of the presentation. So if you look on the tree, it has 4 children in the hierarchy. Web archive or the WAR module class loader being at the bottom of the tree, whose parent is the application class loader, whose parent is the WebSphere extensions class loader, and its parent is the Java class loaders. By default, the mode for each of these class loaders or the children present in the hierarchy of this class loaders is parent first. And what that means is, for example, if during runtime a Java artifact in the web archive is looking for a class, the default mode of search would be to search its parent. In this case, it would be the application class loader. The mode for application class loader is parent first, so it will go to the WebSphere extensions class loader, and the mode for the WebSphere extensions class loader is parent first. So the artifact that Web Archive War class loader is looking for will ultimately first be searched in the Java class loader's class path. If it is not found, it will drop down to WebSphere extensions class loader. If it is not found there, it will drop down to application class loader. And if it's not found there, it will drop down to the Web Archive class loader and look into the classes in the lib folder or the Web INF folder. Now, this is the default mode of operation. The modes for each of the children can be changed from parent first to parent last, in which case the artifacts that are needed will be searched in the class loader or the context class loader that is present at that particular point in time. So, for example, if an artifact that is needed by the war archive and the mode or the delegation mode is set to parent last, then it will first search the war archive's WebInf class directory and the WebInf lib directory. And if it is found, it will use there rather than going up the tree to the class Java class loaders. So this is basic overview of the class loaders that are present in the WebSphere application server runtime environment. Going on to slide 9, titled, What is the problem for using JCL in WebSphere? So basically, we want to understand what the problem is when trying to use the Jakarta Commons logging in WebSphere application server. As stated before, the Jakarta Commons logging artifacts provided by WebSphere appear on the WebSphere extensions class loader. And this is the class loader. WebSphere extensions class loader is the class loader that loads all the artifacts, all the libraries, all the Java classes that are needed by the WebSphere application server for its use. So these are the WebSphere application server's classes and libraries that are needed for WebSphere application server. So since WebSphere application server also provides the default configuration for JCL for its use, the artifacts for JCL that are needed by the WebSphere application server are found in the WebSphere extensions class loader. The second thing that needs to be discussed here is an application that is deployed in WebSphere application server may require its own set of JCL artifacts for its logging. And since the default delegation mode for all the four children that we looked at in the hierarchy tree view, all those four class loaders have a mode of delegation mode of parent first. So it will look for the artifacts by going to its parent and then going up further on onto the tree. So when an application requires a JCL artifact, that the delegation mode delegates the load to its parent. So in this case, it will load push the delegation to its parent. It could be application class loader, and if the application is using the JCL, its parent would be the WebSphere extensions class loader. The process will recurse upwards to the root, which is the Java class loader, to find the artifact. If the search fails, it will unwind to the next lower class loader until the artifacts are found. And as mentioned previously, in the default class loader scheme, which is parent first, the JCL artifacts will always be loaded by the WebSphere extensions class loader. And this is indeed the problem. If the application intends to use its specific logging implementation, they will not be found, but they'll be found in the WebSphere extensions class loader. So in the subsequent slides, we'll discuss how an application can package its own artifacts for logging implementations and actually use those instead of the ones that are provided by the WebSphere extensions class loader. Going on to slide number 10, the title is Building Application-Specific JCL Solutions. So what are the steps that are needed for building an application-specific Jakarta Commons logging solution? So as mentioned previously, there are three ways to find the log factory implementation class. First one was to use the system property, which to be noted is not supported in WebSphere application server. So the next option to find the log factory would be by looking at a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory. If that file is found, then the log factory implementation will be picked up from the class that is specified in this class file. If this org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory file is not found, it will go and search for a file called commons-logging.properties. This is the JCL option 3 that was mentioned in the previous slide. Try to find the concrete implementation of the log factory in there. If that file is found, it will use it from there. If not, it will go ahead and use the WebSphere-specific log implementation that is in the WebSphere extensions class loader. The second thing that needs to be done is to package all the JCL classes and the resources that are needed by the JCL in a single utility jar. This is basically a best practice way. There are different ways this packaging can be done, but for simplicity and for best practice, it is advised to package all the JCL classes and the resources in a single utility jar that is packaged either with the application or as a shared library, and we'll talk about how to package them. But it is definitely suggested to package all the JCL classes and artifacts in a single resource utility jar file. And the name of this commons utility jar file is called commons-logging.jar. This is the file that is created in step one above. Going into slide number 11, and this is the continuation of the building of the application-specific JCL solutions. The third step that needs to happen is to make the commons logging jar available to the application using one of these techniques. So you have to make the commons logging jar that contains the concrete definition of the log factory, and it contains all the other JCL artifacts that are needed for the implementation of the logging. So where do you put this logging commons-logging jar? It can be added at any one of these four places. It could be added as to the application year. It could be added to the application war module, in which case only the war module will have access to this implementation-specific scenarios. It could be added as an application-associated shared library, or it could be associated to a server-associated shared library. And we'll talk about the differences of associating to an application versus associating a shared library to a server. This was actually discussed in detail on Tuesday's presentation, but we will touch base on those, what they mean. The fourth step that is necessary for the application to pick up the application-specific JCL artifacts is to set the parent last mode for its delegation. So basically, we'll be setting the parent last. If you're packaging the commons-logging.jar as part of the application, then you'll be setting the parent last delegation mode for the application. If you're packaging the commons-logging.jar as part of the war module or the web module, then you'll be setting the parent last to the web or the war module. So those are basically the four steps that are needed to get your JCL artifacts picked up by the application rather than the default one of the WebSphere extension class loader that is for the WebSphere application server. Going on to slide number 12, titled The Preferred Way of Packaging. So as mentioned before, there are different ways of packaging. It is suggested and recommended to package all the JCL artifacts in a single utility jar to keep it simple and avoid confusion as to where the artifacts are if they're spread out across different jars. But it is very simple and keeps the, all your Jakarta Commons logging isolated into one jar. Also, it is advised and recommended to keep your application-specific JCL artifacts completely independent of the JCL artifacts that are shipped within WebSphere. If your JCL artifacts depend on the JCL artifacts that are shipped by the WebSphere, the process of debugging can get quite complicated. So it is really advised to put your JCL artifacts for the application completely independent of the ones that are shipped by the WebSphere. Going on to slide number 13, titled Choosing Where to Place the JCL Artifacts. So we discussed in the previous set of example, you could, this is an example scenario that we are going to be looking at. In the previous slides, we looked at, there are different places in your application that you can put the JCL artifacts, which are basically packaged as part of the commons-logging.jar file. We discussed they could be placed with the year, which is the application. They could be placed with the WAR, which is the web module. They could be placed in a shared library, and the shared library then being associated with an application or to a server. So here is an example of adding an application specific JCL artifact to the year or the WARs. And what are the benefits, basically, of doing this? By packaging it within a year, it provides implicit versioning per application. So you could have 5 applications installed on the application server, and each of your applications could use a different JCL implementation logging details. And they would be pretty much, implicit to your application, to that particular application. By packaging it with the year or the WAR, it is automatically deployed when you deploy your application. And at runtime, they are loaded with the class loader that either runs that either loads your application year file or the WAR module, depending on where it is placed. So it is automatically loaded by the class loader for the application or the web module class loader. Going on to slide number 14, and this is continuation of choosing where to place your JCL artifacts. They could also be placed in the shared libraries, and the advantages of packaging your JCL artifacts and using shared libraries in WebSphere application server is it provides a specific application association to a application or a set of applications. So, for example, if you had 5 applications deployed on your application server and 3 of your applications wanted to use a JCL implementation A, you can create a shared library rather than deploying into all those 3 applications the JCL artifacts that are required, individually into each of the applications. So this provides a place to, one place where you store your JCL artifacts that can be used by multiple applications. And if a change is required, you only need to make a change at one place rather than having to make changes at all the 3 applications that you have deployed to. So that is, if the JCL artifacts change, no need to redeploy the entire application, as the JCL artifacts are outside the year or the WAR module. So that's one of the benefits also. Again, it should be noted that the delegation mode of parent last is required for both of these options. Now we'll look at slide number 15, titled Detailed Steps for Packaging JCL Artifacts in an Application Year File. So let's look at the steps that are needed for packaging your JCL artifacts in an application year file. So again, remember from the previous slides, the very first thing you do is you need to specify your log factory implementation either in the commons-logging.properties file or by creating a file called org-apache-commons.logfactory and placing it under meta services folder. So in this particular example, we are going to use commons-logging.properties file to specify the specific log implementation that you want to use. So the very first thing is you create a file called commons-logging.properties. Inside the file, you enter a name value pair, name being org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory, and the value would be the actual logfactory implementation class that is going to implement your logging. And the next line shows you the example of using log4j factory as the log factory for implementing the logging details. Going into next slide, slide number 16, this is continuation of the packaging of the JCL artifacts in the year. So we are talking about how to package JCL artifacts in the year. So in the previous slide, we talked about creating a commons-logging.properties file and providing the name of the log factory class. The second step is to create a jar called commons-logging.jar file. And, placing all the JCL artifacts that are required for this logging implementation class in this particular jar file. So we created the commons-logging.properties file, so that is placed at the root of this jar file. And then, it contains all the other log classes that are needed for the implementation of the logging. It just contains a partial listing of the commons-logging jar file that you created in step number 2. Going on to slide number 17, again continuing using JCL artifacts package in the application. In the previous slides, we looked at steps 1 and 2. Step number 1 was to create a logging.properties file that contained the name value pair for your log factory implementation. In step number 2, we created the commons-logging.jar file that contains all the artifacts that are needed for logging details for that particular application. In step number 3, we'll be making this commons-logging.jar available to either the EJB and the web modules of your application. So we'll be adding the commons-logging jar to the root directory of this application year file. And then And in the slide, if you see, it shows the listing of the year file. It contains the meta-inf, meta-inf-manifest.mf file, and then it contains commons-logging.jar file, and then all the other pieces of the application. The next step to do is to make the commons-logging jar to the class path of the manifest.mf of every EJB and the WAR module that is going to use the JCL solution. So let's talk about this a little bit. So by placing the commons-logging jar at the root of the year file does not make it available to your application. You have to change the manifest.mf file of every EJB jar or the WAR web module that needs to use this commons-logging jar. Again, this was discussed in the presentation on Tuesday as to why this is necessary, so I will not go into the details, but the key point to note here is that by placing a jar at the root of the year does not make it available to all the EJBs and the WAR modules that are part of the application. You have to modify the manifest.mf entry or manifest.mf file of every EJB and the WAR module that needs to use the commons-logging jar file. Going on to slide number 18, continuing the steps needed for packaging of the JCL artifacts in the year. In the previous slides, we talked or looked at step number 1, 2, and 3. Step 1 was to create the commons-logging.properties file and provide the implementation class for the log factory. The second slide or the second step was to create a commons-logging.jar file and package your logging artifacts inside the jar file, including the file commons-logging that was created in step number 1. Step number 3 was to place this commons-logging jar into your application year file, preferably at the root of the year file. And the next step would be part B of step number 3 was to modify the manifest.mf entries of all the EJBs and the web modules that need to make use of that commons-logging jar file. Now going on to step number 4, we have to set the delegation mode to parent last. And this can be done by going onto your application admin console or the WebSphere admin console and selecting the applications, enterprise applications, and selecting the application that has the Commons logging jar file and setting the parent class from the class loader mode of the drop-down list. Clicking OK and then saving the changes. Again, this was discussed, how to change the delegation modes of an application and a web module was discussed in great detail on Tuesday's presentation, so I'll not go into graphical presentation on how that is done with the web console steps. So, but these are basically the steps that are needed to set the parent class for that application that is containing the commons-logging.jar file. Step number 5 would be to restart your application for the changes to take effect. The server changes or the application changes that you made are now effective, and it will allow your application to use the JCL artifacts that are packaged within the application year file. Here we'll look at another example of using a shared library to package your JCL artifacts. So we'll go through the same step-by-steps for configuring a shared library that contains the Commons logging jar file. In this example, we'll use the application-associated shared library, meaning that the shared library that is created will be associated to an application. It could also be associated to a server, and that was also discussed on Tuesday how to do that. But in this particular example, we'll be using the application-associated shared library example. So again, the very first thing that needs to happen is to specify the name of your concrete class that is going to be used for LogFactory. So this is the actual logging implementation class that you're going to be using for logging. So again, we'll create a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory. In the previous example that we talked about packaging the commons logging jar with the application, we used the commons-logging.jar file. That was one of the options. In this example, we'll use a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory. So this covers both the examples or different ways of packaging your LogFactory implementation. The very first thing to do is to create the file, and then in the file specify the name of your concrete class that's going to provide the logging details. Continuing on to slide number 20, this is again continuation of using the shared library for your JCL artifacts. Step number 1 in the previous slide, we looked at creating a file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory and putting in that file the value of the class or the actual class that is providing the logging implementation. So in the next step, we'll be creating a commons-logging.jar file. We'll place the file called org.apache.commons.logging.logfactory in the commons logging jar, and we'll also put this InPath meta-INF services folder. So partial listing of the commons logging jar file would look like this. The meta-INF folder would contain all these things. It would have meta-INF, it would have meta-INF, licenses.txt, and so forth, as stated on the slide. Going on to slide number 21, which is continuation of using the shared library. Step number 3, we now will have to define the shared library on the WebSphere application server. And this was again discussed on Tuesday, but we'll go through the steps of how to create the shared library. You go on the WebSphere application server console. On the left side, you click on the environment, and then on the shared libraries in the left pane. Then you would select the scope of the shared library. There are different scopes available for the shared library. The shared library could be available at a cell level, in which case you will specify your cell name. If you want to make the shared library available to your node, in that case, you will specify the node name that the shared library belongs to. And if you want to make the scope of the shared library just for the server, then you'd specify the name of the server where this scope is valid. You'll click on New and enter the name and description of the class path in the shared library. basically, you can enter JCL in the name field for your name of the shared library. You can optionally set the description in the description field and then enter the path of the jar file into the class path field. In this particular example, I've used d/temp/jcl/commons-logging.jar. You click OK and save your changes, and now a shared library called JCL is defined. Going on to slide number 22, this is the step number 4 in using a shared library that contains the commons-logging.jar file. Step number 4 would be to associate now the shared library called JCL to your application. And this can again be done by going on to the WebSphere application server console, selecting the applications, and then the enterprise applications, and the particular application that you want to associate the shared library to. Under the additional properties, you select libraries. In the next pane that opens up, you click add, and then in the next pane, you select the name of the library that you want to associate. In this case, it will be the JCL shared library. You click on OK and save the changes, and now a JCL is now associated with your application, My Application. So basically, at this point, you have made the JCL library or the JCL shared library that you created that contains the commons-logging jar associated to your application called My Application. I think those are all the steps that are needed to do this. So the next step is just a simple setting of the parent last for that application, delegation mode. This is the same as we did when creating the commons-logging.jar file that was packaged with the application. So same thing you do for the application, you set the parent last as the delegation mode. And the next thing, you save your changes and then restart the application for changes to take effect. So these are all the detailed steps that are needed for implementing commons-logging.jar that is packaged as a shared library and then associating the shared library to your application. That pretty much wraps up the presentation. So I'll go through the summary and hopefully you'll be able to use the presentation pause again to understand in details if any steps are needed for reference later on. So today's presentation we discussed what is JCL, why we use JCL, what is the JCL support in WebSphere application server, what is the criteria that is used in the discovery of the JCL artifacts, how to build your application-specific JCL solutions, either by packaging in the application year file or using shared library, all the steps that are needed to do that. And then we looked at options for packaging the JCL artifacts within WebSphere. And again, this was packaging in the year or packaging it as a shared library. And a third example that's not discussed here, but is very similar to packaging in the year, but specific to the WAR module, in which case, your JCL solution will only be available to the web module. And the next slide, slide number 25, contains some of the references and some of the links that were used to make this presentation and some of the links that are there for reference purposes for understanding the details of the Jakarta Commons logging and where it comes from. And here there are some additional WebSphere product resources. This, again, for your reference, DeveloperWorks contains a lot of white papers that are excellent step-by-step instructions for understanding different topics of different product areas. And then we have the WebSphere application server support site page and the weekly technical, my support emails and all that. And now, going on to slide number 27, that ends my presentation, and I'll give it to Sijan to open the floor for question and answers.
Joshua, we can continue now the question and answer period.
Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so at this time by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. We will now take our first question from Andy Carson.
Hi there. Why are you recommending that we put the file containing the log factory specification inside the Commons logging jar?
There's no particular need to package that, but this keeps it isolated and makes it very clear as to what application is going to use what log factory. So it provides basically a way of clarity in terms of what log factory is being used by what application.
Hello, Mr. Carson. Your line is still open.
Hi. Yeah, okay. I'm happy with the answer. Thanks.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please do so at this time by pressing star 1. It appears at this time we have no further questions.
At this time, we would like to conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, AJ, for presenting today.